Hi, everybody. My name is Bea Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. Today, I am talking to Amy Byers, Library Director, and Community Engagement Librarian Megan Freeman from the Chatham Area Public Library. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
No problem. So, starting off, let's jump right in. Amy, how about you go first? Tell me a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go to Megan.
As you said, my name is Amy Byers. I'm the library director at the library. I've been there for about 13 years. Springfield native, went to Rochester School. So we're just happy to be here and just talk about libraries.
And then Megan, how about you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. I am a Springfield native. My current position, the community engagement librarian, I've been in this role for going on 2 years. It's a new position that started in, I think, May of 2019. Would that be 8 or 9 months in? The pandemic hit. So that was an interesting pivot and shift in my role. But I've been at the library, I think, going on 4 years. I started here as a circulation assistant and then got my master's in library science. And I mean, just amazingly, this position became, and here I am, and I couldn't be happier. In my position, currently, I see it as having two buckets. So one bucket is collaborating with my colleagues here and sort of lifting and supporting and helping their programming through promotion, marketing, communications. And then the second bucket, I see as developing and trying to move forward with new programs and ideas, ways of getting out into the community, outreach, and trying to build community partnerships.
I think that's very important, especially what we're seeing in the pandemic. I think just having the library kind of have its, like I like to say, a resurgence, bringing, kids and adults back to the library. I think that's really important.
And one of the things that Megan has done recently is she started a pen pal program. The weather and obviously the pandemic as well. So we're looking at technological ways of reaching out, but also just old school pen and paper, which is great too. So we're reaching out in many ways.
Which leads me to remember, Amy, one thing that we did during the stay-at-home order, when the space obviously couldn't be open, was we took something that yearly we offer called a seed library, where people can come into the library. We have a beautiful wooden old school sort of card catalog, and they can take seeds and, plant their garden using those seeds. But because people couldn't come in, we decided, let's mail them out. Let's ask who wants to participate. We had handwritten notes. We put the seed packets in and we mailed them to folks to be able to still have that experience, but also receive something handwritten and beautiful in the mail during a time that was very difficult. So I feel like we got positive feedback about that as well. So this idea of trying to connect during a time of sort of loneliness and isolation has been something that we've thought a lot about.
And let's talk about this a little bit more. When the stay-at-home order went into place, what was the library's first reaction? I mean, what were you guys going through?
Well, as you can imagine, it was a little stressful for everyone because our purpose is to be there for our community, and our building is a big part of that. And so when we had to go through the stay-at-home order, we had to really rethink, well, what can we do? And so, as Megan said, the seed library promotion was a big part of that. But also, we looked to our digital resources and how can we really get entertainment and resources into the hands of people that really need it when they're very stressed out and worried. Sometimes you just need a good piece of fiction that gets your mind out of reality, right? And so we really worked really hard to figure out how we can expand access to those materials and really just reach as many people as we can during this time. And then when later on we were able to open with curbside and we were able to work through physical materials as well. But that first month and a half or so, we really pushed on our digital resources. And thankfully we had good resources to share. We actually even added a couple during this time because we're like, now is not the time to worry about our print budget. Let's worry about our electronic budget and gain access to even more and more. So we just kept trying to be as creative as possible to meet the needs of people we serve.
And to piggyback off of that, Amy, one thing that we realized was that traditionally, folks had to enter the library to get a library card, right? So in order to access some of our digital offerings, one must have this library card. Well, if you can't come into the library, but we want you to have access to this, we developed something called an e-card. And Amy, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that, because that was something really cool that I feel like we turned over pretty quickly in order to be able to increase that access for folks.
I believe in the first week of the stay-at-home order, we created the e-card, where essentially it was a Google form that we just had people fill out their information, their address. We could check to verify their residency to make sure they were part of our library district. And we were able to reach out to them and say, okay, yes, use all of the e-resources that we have. You still have access to e-books and movies and music and all the other things that we have to offer, regardless if you're able to physically come into our building. So that was a big deal for people who might not have used the library, the physical building, until they realized the stay-at-home order made them really want to reach out and say, well, what is available to me now that I can't go out and do, you know? So we became a vital resource to those who might not have thought of us in the past, which we thought was really important to reach out to everyone, including them.
You know, that's really cool because, you know, growing up, I grew up by a library, Carter G. Woodson. I'm from Chicago. So that's a really big library and they would walk us up there on school days. And then I remember, you know, everybody sing Arthur. So, you know, that episode when they're singing and they're like, having fun isn't hard if you got a library card. So to me, you know, the e-library card is something I think is so important, especially how we saw that we relied on those digital resources. So I applaud you all for really jumping on that and making that commitment. That's so cool.
I have to tell you, B, that libraries during this time, like a bunch, you know, organizations of all sorts, they really pivoted quickly in terms of what they could offer and what they could do. And another thing that we did was start to offer virtual programming. So a lot of people think of libraries as spaces where, you know, we have summer reading program here, we have book camp here, we have book clubs, adult book clubs, et cetera, in the space. Well, what does that mean when the space isn't available? So we started to think about the virtual as a space for still being able to offer programming. And a lot of us had never done that. I don't know if any of us had ever done that, but it was something that happened very quickly. And I'm also very proud of that. And libraries have done really cool stuff. They really have during all of this.
And speaking of cool things, you all have also just introduced something on February 15th. You all went fine free, which is so crazy to me because, you know, growing up, if you took something from the library and you didn't bring it back, you wasn't coming back in there unless you paid a fee. So can you talk a little bit about that? What brought that fine free type of rule up in the library?
Okay, well, first I'll mention, if you don't bring that book back, we are gonna bill you for that. So don't worry, that's still there. So we realized during the pandemic that, you know, as we were saying before with the e-resources and how to reach our public, we realized that they were going through a lot, as we all are. And so we had been waiving fines during this time, the last several months. And we realized that our fine structure, it didn't matter. Our items were still coming back, even if we weren't charging those nickels and dimes on a daily basis. And so we researched it more and really looked more into the studies that have been taken place in this area, because we're not the first to do this. This is actually something that's a nationwide movement in libraries to go fine free. And we realized that it's a detriment to some people to use the library. You know, we have people that come in who are able to handle these fines and they'll say, oh, I kept the book a couple more days. I don't mind paying the fine because I really wanted to finish the book. You know, I wasn't done. But that's someone who can actually afford that luxury. Well, not everyone has that same luxury, right? And we wanted to make an equitable across the board policy that would work for everyone, you know, that might not be able to pay those fines or might be embarrassed about those fines. And when we looked at the studies that show that we still got our materials back, and some places have actually gotten our materials back faster without the fines. So looking at all of those stories and those studies and just our own experiences during this pandemic, Our library board talked about this back in the fall, and we realized, we showed them the statistics of how many people are impacted by fines, and it's thousands, you know, and the amount of money we get back from fines is so much smaller than the impact that it is on all the people that are affected. And so we looked at all of that, and it, at that point, they all agreed that it was something that we could move past from and start a future. And so our plan was to, when we could come back into the building, thankfully we were able to, we're in the browsing stage right now where you can come in and actually pick a book off of the shelf. We thought that's the time that we were going to share this information and move towards the future of library service without fines. And like I said, there is still bills. If you don't bring back the item, we are going to bill you for that item. You can't check out anything else until you bring that book back. So there are still, we still want the books back. That's the main thing, right? We still want our items back. We want the share. We want your neighbors to be able to read those books that you get to read as well. So it's just, we just realized the fines really weren't impactful to some, but really impactful to others. And for our budget, it's less than a 1% of our full operating budget. So it really, it felt like we could handle it and be able to move forward on an equitable way.
And then you talk about this a little bit, but I'm wondering, why do you think it's so important to have these forms of equity in a public institution such as a library?
I think your question almost answered it. It's a public institution. We are here for everyone. And that's what libraries are. You know, what I love about working in a library is that we are the great equalizer, right? Doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter anything about that. If you want to figure something out, if you want to learn something, if you want to better yourself, that's what we're here for. We don't care what you look like, where, you know, anything. We're here for you. And that's our biggest pride, you know, that we can be here for all of our members of the public, not just ones that can afford it.
I think the role of the library, the public library, is to be a repository of knowledge, a community hub, a place of belonging. And I feel like if we have identified a barrier, it's our job to rethink that. And I feel like monetary fines, they've been identified as a barrier. And our particular community and board decided that it's time to get rid of that.
So something else I was wondering with this is how accounts will be working now. Like if I was 7 and I had overdue books, at 40, will I still see that on my account?
That's a great question. No, short answer. We are actually going through fines on your account prior to that February 15th date. We are going through and removing those fines. It might take us a little bit because we're doing this manually. So if you come in and say, hey, I got $3 fine, what happens there? We will just waive those right then and there. We'll get through all of our patrons, but it just will take a little bit of time. But that's the whole point. We want a clean slate. You know, just come in. We want you. we don't want to worry about, you know, $3 here and there, but we want you to come in and that 7-year-old should be able to pick up something new. As long as, even when you're 40, you should be able to pick up something new. Just enjoy the resources that we have for you.
When I was little, I would go to the hardware store with my dad. And there was this like smell, a very particular smell of this like sense of potential. Because when you go there, you're like, I'm going to get this to fix something, or I'm going to get this to build something. And that's sort of how I think of our library. I think that I've heard a lot of people talk about their time, like growing up going to the library, there is that smell and there is that, like, there's potential here. We are here to open that up and provide the opportunity for whatever you are interested in exploring. So we're kind of like the hardware store was for me when I was a kid.
Actually, that was a perfect metaphor because it is like that when you go to the library and you're that young and there's these big bookcases and tons of books and you're just sitting there and people all around reading. So I still even get that feeling now. And I don't even want to tell y'all the last time I've been in a library. It's probably embarrassing, but...
Yeah, that's the point, right? It's not embarrassing. You come, you're always welcome. It doesn't matter, right? We will take anyone who's been, hasn't been there in 10 years. We take brand new babies. We don't care. we're here, and that's okay, right? We don't want anyone to feel shame, and that's a big part of the fines thing. You know, we'll have people say, "Oh my gosh, I owe you fines. I owe you. I know. I owe." No, we don't. That's okay. Just come. You talked about the hardware store and all, and that nice metaphor, like you said, and I feel like everyone has that idea, and a lot of people who might be older remember the real old school library, you know, with the shushing and everyone's silent and just, you know, you can't talk, you can't do. That's not our library. Our library is it can be loud sometimes, and sometimes it's vibrant, right? It's community center. So you come in and you get to interact with people and you get to connect in ways that are very different than that old school library mentality. And the fines are just kind of, again, that old school thinking that, you know, we just need to bring it into this century, you know, of what we really are and what we really do.
So have you all gotten any feedback yet from any of your patrons about how they feel about the fines going away?
Well, of course, we announced this on a snow day, so that wasn't super great. But I do know that people are excited. I think a lot of people, especially those with children who might check out, you know, a big stack of books, you know, I think they're pretty darn excited. I don't know, Megan, if you've heard anything other than that, but I think people are just, they're pretty cool with it.
I haven't gotten any feedback outside of when we announced on social media. People seemed excited, but outside of that, I haven't heard much as of yet.
Well, I know that, you know, with the spring coming up and people looking for things to do, I'm pretty sure everybody's just going to flood in and take advantage. So I'm really excited to see what you all continue to do. And speaking on that note, do you all have anything upcoming, any virtual events or anything you just want to plug right now?
We have something called a murder mystery fundraiser that's coming up. So this will be what, the 21st year of the library doing this, Amy? Mm-hmm. So it's our annual fundraiser, and historically it's been in person, and it's community members who are the actors, and it's to raise money for the Friends of the Chatham Area Public Library. This year it's virtual, and you can get your tickets. There's two ways to watch. There's a premiere show, and then there is a video on demand option. It's going to be awesome, I think. Is there anything you want to add to that, Amy?
Well, Megan is being modest. Megan is one of the actors in this play, and she's a sight to be seen. Let's just put it that way. And so we have a little trailer on our website or our Facebook right now that highlights the actors and things in it. But it is a lot of fun. And as you said, it's our Friends fundraiser. The Friends of the Library normally do book sales, which of course have been canceled due to the situation we're currently in. So this is their big fundraiser for the year, and it's silly and ridiculous and just something fun. It's a family friendly type of thing that you could just kind of enjoy, get some pizza and just watch your community. It's good.
We also offer virtual story times. We have a virtual over Zoom. So we have a family evening story time and a preschool story time. We have a couple of virtual book clubs. We're going to be offering some things connected to the big read in our area. So our all booked up virtual book club in March, we'll be discussing the book Lab Girl. And then we have take and make craft kits available every week. The new one comes out on Mondays. So in March, each week, the take and make craft kit will be related to the book Lab Girl as well.
Yeah, we're really just kind of preparing for next, what our summer is going to look like. We do a really big summer reading where we have thousands of kids participate. So we're looking to what we can offer for that again, and really just excited for warmer weather and better times. I think we all are. So yeah, and I think we kind of hinted on this before, but I just wanted to mention that as Megan said, all libraries are doing these types of things. And so check out the library and in the area that you're in, because we're all doing cool things. Yeah, we got to do a shout out for libraries in general, because they're pretty darn cool.
Yeah, if you ever want to do a show where just a bunch of librarians get together and talk, I think it would be awesome. Because at UIS, there's an awesome library. I was a grad assistant there, Brookins Library. They do really fantastic things. Lincoln Library does amazing things. There's an art library at the Art Association. There's all sorts of different sorts of libraries who would be, I'm sure, thrilled to talk about their work.
Definitely, for sure. And I know the UIS library, you probably see me in there crying to midnight a couple of years ago trying to get projects done. So I do appreciate libraries.
I may have seen you. I was a graduate assistant there when I was doing my master's program in library science. And I found myself wheeling, I don't know if you ever saw them like passing out popcorn.
Yeah.
But I was one of the people passing out popcorn.
Well, I liked when you all did the cereal. That was
the cereal bar. That place is fantastic.
Well, is there any way that our audience can stay up to date with what you all have planned at the library, website, social media?
Yeah, we have a website. We would love for people to visit that website. It's www.chathamlib, that's Chatham, LIB.org. We have a Facebook page, Twitter, and we also have a teen-focused Instagram account.
And is there anything else you all would like to add today before we kind of cut it off?
As Megan said, you know, libraries are here, and they have awesome people in them ready to help anyone who asks. So yay libraries.
I second that. I say yay libraries. And I would just want to say that they're more than just books. And we kind of touched on that in terms of talking about the role of the library. But here's an example of something that we have here. And that library, a ton of libraries have started. It's something called a library of things. We have a library of things where people can, let's take, for example, a pickleball set. You can come and check out the pickleball set, go play pickleball, and then you bring it back. We have these new caregiver kits that we got through a grant from the Rotary Club in Springfield, Chatham. And the idea there is, the kit contains supplies for the person that's being cared for, but also the person who's doing the caring. So sometimes you want to test something out before you spend a bunch of money on it. It might not fit with you or be what you need. And these kits are a great opportunity to care for yourself, care for your loved one, but also test some things out, test some supplies and resources out to see if it's something you want or need to own. There's all sorts of things. They're just the best. Libraries are the best.
Also, we have a lot of great books.
We do have great books.
Also, we like our books too.
Yes, we do.